And this morning, before leaving on an overseas trip, President Trump implied that Democrats who are gaining ground as ballots are still being counted in Florida, Georgia, and Arizona are rigging the results. And he repeatedly seemed to distance himself from Matt Whitaker, the man he picked to replace fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions, but who critics say is a party loyalist who's repeatedly written and talked about ways to stop the Russia investigation.
I don't know Matt Whitaker. Matt Whitaker has a great reputation, and that's what I wanted. I also wanted to do something which, frankly, I could have brought somebody very easily from the outside. I didn't want to do that. When Sessions left, what I did very simply is take a man who worked for Sessions.
We're also keeping an eye today on the fires in California and the day after that terrible mass shooting. But it has been a big week in Washington. So let's bring in Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
And let's start with what we just heard from the president there. He said he didn't know Matt Whitaker. This is the guy that he just chose to be acting attorney general. Why is he saying that?
Well, he's not telling the truth. He has said repeatedly that he does know Matt Whitaker. We know Matt Whitaker has been in the Oval Office with him. And this was engineered by the White House to have someone at the attorney general's position in the interim basis that he can trust, that he can rely on. And it is just not accurate to say he doesn't know him. What he knows about his views is unclear, but what we know about his views are pretty clear. He believes and has said repeatedly that the Mueller investigation had gone into territory that it shouldn't be at, that the president could not obstruct justice because he has absolute power over investigations, and that he could do anything he wanted with the Mueller probe. So those are the questions that are real now. It seems like he's trying to distance himself from Whitaker now that these questions have been raised.
Well, distance himself because he is aware how Matt Whitaker feels about the Russia investigation, or because he wasn't aware of some of the things that, frankly, people are mocking. He is one of many conservatives who feels the Supreme Court needs to be downgraded in power. He was campaign chair for Sam Clovis, who was called to be a witness in the Mueller investigation. He was a board member of a company accused of scamming entrepreneurs. And there's tape floating around. You are well aware of this, Rick, of Matt Whitaker marketing one of the inventions. This is a special hot tub or a jacuzzi chair.
It's incredible.
It's a unique design that's going to help lots of people that have mobility issues get in and use their hot tub in a safe
So
manner.
As you know, Recline, last night, the late night host, Jimmy Kimmel, among them, had a field day with this. They said the current head, acting head of our Department of Justice is a jacuzzi salesman. He should jacuzzi himself, you know. But people feel this is very serious. So what is the president distancing himself because the president doesn't like to be mocked about choices of his, or because he does know how Whitaker feels about the Russia investigation?
We don't know that, in part because he's not being honest about his relationship with Whitaker in the first place. What's clear is that there's been significant blowback, and we've talked about Matt Whitaker as a possible replacement on a permanent basis. There's questions about whether the Senate would do that in the wake of these revelations. These does not seem to be what you'd want in your attorney general. And separate from that, there's legal questions being raised by none other than Kellyanne Conway's own husband, who is a conservative legal expert, who says that the entire appointment process here was illegitimate because Whitaker was never confirmed to this post by the United States Senate. So there's a big cloud over the Justice Department. Keep in mind what happened. The president fired his attorney general the day after the election and now has someone in charge of the Mueller investigation who's on record as having said that Mueller has gone too far. That's the bottom line. I think the rest has been a distraction from that.
Well, and when he did that, Rick, when he fired Jeff Sessions the day after the election, this is something that we have been talking about for months. And even many Republicans were saying he can't do that. He can't fight. Well, he did. Could Whitaker now just end the Mueller investigation? And would anybody on the Republican side in the Senate stand up to him if he did that?
He would have the authority to at least starve it of its resources or reject anything that Mueller has to say. We heard from a number of Republicans who have said that they plan to introduce legislation to protect Mueller next week. A bipartisan group is making that push. But the flip of that is that Mitch McConnell just said that that won't even be necessary because the president's made so clear that the Mueller probe won't be shut down. I have a hard time imagining that it's politically palatable for anyone to see the Mueller probe shut down. Then again, we've seen a number of the president's loyalists stretch their understanding of the president's powers to kind of fit where the president views his own powers over time.
Yeah. Look, we will move on to the other thing that the president talked quite a bit about as he stood next to a helicopter, you know, and was getting ready to travel overseas. He really accused Democrats in several states of foul play, of, rigging what are now the sort of the counts of the ballots that are surfacing in three very important elections. You tweeted this morning the voting is over, but the battle only intensifies from here. Let's start with Florida. Last night, Florida Governor Rick Scott, whose lead in the Senate race is diminishing as votes are counted, filed a lawsuit against Democratic leading Broward and Palm Beach counties, accusing them of mishandling ballots. Let's listen.
Every Floridian should be concerned there may be rampant fraud happening in Palm Beach and Broward counties.
Look, he provided no evidence, but there has been mishandling of ballots in Broward County, and the president spoke a lot about that this morning on the White House lawn. Your thoughts, what's happening here?
It's an extraordinary charge from the governor of Florida to say that local election officials are committing massive fraud.
Well, isn't it? I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't it also extraordinary for U.S. president to say
yes.
that elections are rigged?
Of course it is. Of course it is. And I think highly irresponsible, given that there's no evidence there. But it will have to come out in court at this stage. Keep in mind, what we're talking now is just the count. This isn't a recount. This is not even a recanvassing.
Right.
This has nothing to do with that. This is just the very messy process of counting votes the first time. And what Governor Scott is saying is that you can't trust these counties to count it honestly. He is saying that they are faking it. They're creating new votes. Maybe he has evidence. He hasn't offered it yet. Neither has the president, who is also, I think, recklessly making charges about the integrity of the vote when there is no evidence to the contrary. This is how votes get counted every year. There are millions of votes that aren't counted until days, even weeks after Election Day. That's the system. That's the process.
Well, and it makes you wonder then if the news networks learned nothing from 2000 and called a lot of races when we clearly still have, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of votes left to be counted. We're looking at the situation in Georgia between Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp, which may go to a runoff. We'll see once the votes are all counted there. In Arizona, Kristen Sinema, the Democrat, has pulled ahead of Martha McSally, the Republican. Votes still to be counted there. Rick, we spent so much time on Wednesday looking at what that election meant. And I feel like a couple days later, the big news of that election is that the Democrats took the House, because that is the change. That is the thing. Even though Republicans may have added to their seats in the Senate, that was the case before. This is going to be a big change for the Trump administration to have Democratic House.
That is the big headline. And in fact, I think that headline has only become underscored by the count in the next couple of days. It looks like the Democrats will end up picking up someplace in the high 30s in terms of number of seats. They only needed 23. This is the biggest Democratic pickup since right after the Watergate era, when the Democrats brought in a whole new crop of freshmen. So 40 years since Democrats have had this big of a sweep. And you're right. The one immutable change in Washington, whatever you say about anything else in the votes, is that Democrats will chair the committees. Democrats will have the Speaker of the House. Democrats will have subpoena power, the power to compel witnesses. Investigations will head in an entirely new direction. The president will not have the same levels of protection that he has from Congress in the past.
Yeah. I just want to make one comment, because as I'm listening to this, there are, of course, Republicans and Trump supporters who feel that Trump questioning or fighting back at questions about this midterm election is just what to them felt like criticism of the election of Trump, by saying that there was interference from the Russians. Of course, the difference is that the Russians did interfere in the 2016 election. Right now, we just are not seeing the evidence. But you just mentioned the Democrats are going to be taking the House and have the speakership. Who do you think that speaker is going to be, Rick Klein? Seth Moulton from here in Massachusetts has said he's leading a contingent of new candidates that he helped win, that are new representatives, rather, who he helped win, and they said they would not be voting for Nancy Pelosi as their speaker. Who do you think is going to be the Democratic speaker?
There is no other alternative right now. It is going to be Nancy Pelosi unless or until there is an alternative. And I think a couple of things. One is the depth of this victory, the breadth of this victory, makes it more likely that Nancy Pelosi becomes speaker, because Seth Moulton and his band of outsiders, they may not control the ultimate votes, because the Democrats have enough of a cushion here. I don't think enough Democrats would ever vote against Pelosi to allow a Republican to become speaker. That is not going
no,
to happen.
Yeah.
And I think they need. I think Democrats need Nancy Pelosi to kind of make the trains run on time right now. They need a leader who can unite their conference.
Well, and Tim Ryan, I saw from Ohio, who had challenged Nancy Pelosi before, was on TV the very next morning talking. So maybe he's hoping for it as well. Rick, I want to ask you about one more thing today. We had this mass shooting this week. A lot of family members came forward, talked to the media. This is Susan Schmidt Orfanos, the mother of one victim who was actually a survivor of the Las Vegas shooting and then died tragically in California.
I don't want prayers. I don't want thoughts. I want gun control, and I hope to God nobody else sends me any more prayers. I want gun control. No more guns.
Rick, do you think that there is going to be any appetite for doing that on Capitol Hill with a Democratic House?
I do think that there's an area where Democrats will try to push themselves legislatively. They can unite most of their conference, and a lot of Republicans too, around things like background checks, around like even an assault weapons ban, banning bump stocks. I do think that that will be something that the Democrats pursue early in the new year. Whether the Senate takes it up, whether the president signs off, that's an open question. But man, is that just wrenching to listen to.
Yeah.
And we hear it just about after every one of these shootings, and the national moment seems to slip away. I think Democrats aren't going to let this one slip.
But she was also a reminder of all the shootings we've had, that she could have a son survive one and then die in another. Rick Klein, ABC News political director, thank you so much for helping us round out this another incredible week. Thank you.
Thank you.